Whether they are in a city or a very rural location, it can be challenging for medical patients to connect with the most appropriate medical care for their needs, particularly if they require specialty services or have a chronic illness. Health systems all over the world are using telemedicine solutions now to enable patients to receive the best care possible, regardless of their location. I'm your host, James Hilliard, and on today's episode of Connection Point, we are joined by two guests who are highly qualified to bring us up to date on the latest developments in the exciting area of telemedicine. Tony DeFrancesco is with us, a healthcare senior solutions advisor within Cisco's healthcare business transformation team. He has 20 years of experience in U.S. and international healthcare sales and marketing. We are also joined by Ash Shahada. He is the Senior Executive Director of Healthcare at Cisco Systems. For the past 4 years, Ash has also served as Worldwide Director of the Cisco Internet Business Solutions Group, responsible for the healthcare payer and financial services industry. His 25 years of healthcare and IT expertise include leadership positions at WellPoint, IBM Global Services and Accenture, and at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. And really appreciate having Tony and Ash on with us today. Ash, want to start things off with you today, having you kind of describe what telemedicine solutions encompass and talk a little bit about the healthcare delivery challenges that telemedicine is really aimed at addressing.
Telemedicine, as you know, has been around for a long time. From the days I was a hospital administrator, we saw some very early examples of it in the early 90s in the Medical College of Georgia and others. What's really exciting, I think, about the new technologies and the new applications of telemedicine is it's not just about the, you know, robust, high-definition video endpoints, but now it's actually the opportunity to create an immersive healthcare experience for patients and providers using the high-definition video, using the concept of integrating medical telemetry at the point of care, and also bringing in a very immersive amount of technology and data and information to be able to route those sessions to the most appropriate clinician to match the most appropriate patient need. So it really is kind of a breakthrough era for telemedicine. We're kind of moving beyond that point-to-point industry and now really kind of using it as a communication device and as an enhancement to the ability to see patients. And in some cases, I'd even propose we have data to suggest that the telemedicine visits now are even more augmented and really more satisfactory to many providers and patients that have used the technologies.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have yet to experience much of this. I think I can keep my fingers crossed saying because I've been in good health, but I have some family members that have talked about some of these experiences and that it was quicker. They actually felt a little more of a connection, which I found a little strange, but it sounds like you're sharing that, Ash. A little more of a connection with the physician at that point than they had gotten at actually some bedside care in the past.
Yeah, you know, you're spot on. Our data is actually suggest this, and you know, it's not only data coming from the U.S. We've studied this abroad in India and China on the NHS, and we're seeing, you know, 90 plus you know, percentage point satisfaction scores across the board for both patients and providers. We've even surveyed different groups from 16 to 75 plus for both primary care and specialty care. So you know, I have to admit the data is really coming in at a very encouraging level. And And I think, you know, some of the breakthroughs of it are really the concept of the ease of use and the immersive experience. And, you know, as you kind of sit and watch fantastic television broadcasts in your living room in HD, the expectation, the ability to do the same for healthcare is certainly there. And we're excited to be able to see, you know, that happening in our lifetime.
Well, and I can assume for the physicians out there being able to collaborate with each other or with another specialist to help them on some type of case, that's a big benefit. And then you have the individuals. I'm assuming we're seeing more where an individual might be able to be on with two or three of their physicians because of some specialty that's needed. Instead of having to go to one visit here, one visit there, next week the visit here, you can get all those people together, have that conversation, move forward with whatever treatment's needed.
You know, and we're actually seeing kind of the use cases kind of fall out into three areas. The first one is the corporate clinic use case, which we've kind of measured and extended here in the United States with Cisco throughout our campuses. That one seems to be very exciting, you know, where you can take a corporate clinic where you might have providers, extend them out to remote locations, and give access to your employees across, you know, geographies. Of course, taking into consideration state licensure. The second model we're seeing really take off is the concept of being able to extend your specialists. We're seeing a big uptake in programs around neurology, cardiology, and even emergency department consultations. So the idea of being able to engage a specialist either pre or post procedure, get real-time advice, and have them actually see the patient with the vital information they need for diagnosis is really quite exciting, and we're seeing that as a very good business model for a lot of our provider specialty services. And I think the third area, which is really also exciting, is really thinking about the capabilities to the home and being able to give people the follow-up care, the care management, and the coordination of care services right there in their living room. So I think those three areas are really building some fantastic business cases and use cases and case studies for us right now.
No, absolutely. Sounds like it. I mentioned in the beginning, Ash, that you've got some experience, a fair amount, in kind of healthcare payer, the financial services side of the industry here. Are there issues related to insurance coverage and telemedicine and payers being able to afford this, get reimbursed for these? How's that playing out these days?
Sure. I think there's definitely a greater degree of interest than we've ever seen before. There are organizations like the American Telemedicine Association that have been a big part in advancing the cause and the advocacy for the payment. We have worked with a lot of the big payers in the United States, companies like United Healthcare, and they've been very encouraging and supporting this kind of payment model. At Cisco, I'd also encourage, working with companies like Cisco who are self-insured. We're ASO customers, and we can basically develop the payment models. So if we're working with, for example, a hospital in our region, we can certainly build those payment models for telemedicine directly through our own policies and procedures. And finally, the third area, which is really starting to advance, I think, is the government. We have some states like the state of Georgia, which actually has mandated payment around telemedicine for certain diseases and code coverage. So it really is exciting to see states really start to embrace it. And we think telemedicine is going to be a great tool for healthcare reform. It's going to be an opportunity for us to really build out new resources, new capabilities, and new access to care and services. So as a matter of fact, this year, ATA put together a very nice formal request for CMS. And in addition, last year, we worked with the FCC on their broadband plan, and the first third of that plan was really building a broadband infrastructure for the United States, and they also urged CMS for broader health payment reform around telemedicine. So we've got good instances, I think, of it starting. It's starting to take hold, and we expect to see more and more as the ROI starts to come through.
Yeah, and you bring up the examples of Georgia, and no conversation about healthcare is had these days without the idea of policy out there, regulations, et cetera. Anything on the near-term horizon, next, say, 6 months or so?
I think the big thing to be careful of is there's a greater interest now with the FDA looking at the governance of these devices when you integrate video and medical information. That's actually very good. Cisco's taken a very very careful approach in understanding that and working with the FDA on the appropriate approvals. So I encourage everybody take a look at the new regulations and understand how telemedicine is moving in that area. And I think you're starting to see more and more states look at the payment models for Medicaid around telemedicine in order to increase coverage and reduce cost. So I would check in your particular state. And then last year, CMS did offer an updated version of the codes that they currently do pay for telemedicine visits. So there are certainly some available codes today that are reimbursable through Medicare.
All right, cool. Hey, Ash, really appreciate it. It sets kind of a nice foundation for what's going on in general regards to telemedicine. Tony, I want to turn things to you right now and talk about now some of the technology, because we got folks interested listening today on that front. What are some of the specific types of technical solutions that are the newest, the greatest, that are coming to the market right now in terms of telemedicine programs?
Well, thank you, James. And with this advent of technology these days, there's quite a few offerings in the space, and specifically in telemedicine, I think there's some form factors we see our customers looking at going forward. Of course, you have the basic, stationary care. Should I build out a room or a kiosk type of scenario where the patient would come into an enclosed area and sit down and have that encounter with the physician at the far end, where at the near end you would have some medical devices to measure things like a heart rate, heart sounds, their temperature, various vital signs, should we say. say, and you might have the advent of even using some certain discipline cameras for CCD to look at dermatology-type events. And then we see other technologies evolving where, you know, video is really the core or the driving infrastructure, along with the audio and the data, obviously. And those form factors, like I mentioned, could be stationary, might be mobile on a cart, for example, if you're in a scenario that would call out where you need to be more accessible and you don't want to necessarily build out a standardized room. You have this mobility cart scenario that has evolved. We've seen some people look at, desktops. Should we look at kind of a scaled-down version? Some of it has to do with cost. Some has to do with is it just enough quality, for example? What's good enough type of mentality? And, of course, we have the advent now of the tablet technology. Does that play into the factor of, being really mobile, mobility, right? How would the physician adapt to that type of scenario? So I think it runs the gamut from, handheld all the way up to room scenarios. And it depends on, where the care is being delivered, what is the best information that the patient can deliver, what information does the physician request. So that's just some thoughts that I may have around the technology. Suffice to say, it's leaps and bounds where it was years ago, and it does fit many different form factors.
Absolutely. We talked to Ash and I a little bit about kind of feedback. What's feedback you've heard from folks that have been involved with some of the Cisco technology out there? What have the patients been saying in terms of these virtual visits?
Right. Like Ash spoke to early on, it's been very high. It's been the 90-plus percentiles of acceptance. I think people in this day and age are very much aware of video-type activity. Obviously, folks that have grown up younger are very much accustomed to the different gaming things they've been exposed to over the years. So I think people are comfortable in that setting. Other comments that we've heard is they like the individual one-on-one dimension, right? It's not them waiting in the waiting room for an hour, getting their 10 minutes and moving on. These things usually be scheduled for the most part, so they're immediate. You get instant gratification. You don't have to wait for 3 weeks to get that specialist on call, right? If they're there and they're available, you might just continue on with your event for that day. So they're very immersive. They're very friendly. I think the patients have been very receptive to it. And the physicians, of course, and the healthcare professionals aren't traveling. Windshield time has been, decreased, and that's a big concern these days with healthcare costs. People don't want to be spending time driving from site to site. It's much better for them to sit in their comfortable settings and continue to see their patients on a kind of a throughput basis.
It's the evolution of the model that we first saw with salespeople. Instead of flying on an airplane to make sales call after sales call, we got them in front of technology where they can make these virtual meetings and, still have the FaceTime. And we're not saying that any of this is going to eliminate the need to see a doctor face-to-face. That's still going to happen. But in a lot of this evaluation stage early on or the consults, across the country with these specialists, this is cutting a lot of that time down, which is important both for the doctors and the patients out there. We've talked about some of the ideas that are evolving here. You mentioned you using things like Cisco Telepresence. I mean, that's the idea, the high-def video feeds back and forth between each other. What are some other new types of virtual healthcare that you see on the horizon that are evolving, Tony?
I think what you're seeing is this whole scaling down, get to the home healthcare, right? There's tremendous pressure in the industry to deliver wellness programs, to deliver post-hospital care visits. What they don't want to do is have readmissions, right? So if they can have the patient stay in the home or where they're most comfortable, an assisted living retirement setting, that's better for everybody. Reduce your transportation costs, don't have the readmissions, but then deliver very high healthcare to that setting, right? One visit to the ER is very expensive, as we all know, and if this can be a cutoff before you get that far, that's good for everybody, the payers, the patients, the attending physicians, right? So we've seen these models evolve. I'm not sure they're exactly where they need to be just yet, but technology is getting there. Access to network is definitely much better than it's ever been. Costs have been reduced. We've really seen that kind of form factor become very, very relevant throughout the world, by the way, not just the United States. Access to other areas of the world where there's not as many specialists is important. And so you're seeing that evolve over time, and I think you'll continue to see that evolve where the needs are higher than what we can deliver today. So there has to be some other way to deliver care in an effective manner, in telepresence and video conferencing and in this whole health presence scenario is really one good way to attack that.
Absolutely. Cisco on the kind of leading front there. Ash, I want to come back to you. One last question before we wrap things up on today's connection point. It's the idea of who's leading the charge with some of the virtual healthcare. Are we seeing it at the larger hospitals as opposed to, say, the smaller clinics or individual doctor offices?
That's a good question. You know, we're seeing it really in three areas, primarily, of course, the brand name medical centers that have a lot of referral capabilities. That's certainly one group that's been adopting it. The second one is the area of children's hospitals. We've seen a big uptake in children's hospitals. They have a lot of very unique programs. You know that there are very unique subspecialties there. And I think the other area we're seeing are national hospital systems, the ones that cut across multiple state lines. I would say here in the United States, that covers the majority of kind of the initial first movers.
Hey, really appreciate the insights there, Ash. That's where we're going to leave the conversation. Tony, thank you as well for joining us. And thanks for all of you for listening in. If you would like to learn more about Cisco Health Presence Solutions that are available from the PC Connection family of companies, you can contact your account manager. You're also invited to go online to govconnection.com/health. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-800-800-0019 is the phone number. Email address, pretty simple, connect@pcconnection.com. I'm James Hillier. Thanks again for joining us for this installment of Connection Point.